45 metres back. Bernard Foley.
It's got the legs.
It's got the legs. The distance. Over! Over!
Hi there and welcome to Pick and Drive Rugby. We are the People's Podcast, providing a platform for rugby lovers to come together and support the game that's played in heaven. I'm your host, Mitch, and joining me this week is Ando. Ando, you are back from Singapore where you've been away for the weekend. Welcome back, my friend, to the podcast. And I guess the thing we haven't got your thoughts on so far is how good the Waratahs were against the Crusaders over the weekend. That must have been an exciting score to wake up to and a replay to catch up on.
Mate, it was pretty incredible. I wasn't expecting to catch much of Super Round this weekend because, like you said, I was overseas. You can probably tell from my voice I'm a little bit worse for wear because of it. but what I ended up doing when I saw some of the results coming in across the weekend was just getting a free trial of NordVPN and downloading a whole bunch of the matches on Stan Sports so I could then watch it on the plane home. And God, it made the flight home better just watching that Waratahs win on replay again and again and again. It was, I wish I was there. You know, you remember being with me on the hill at Leichhardt when the Crusaders got their win. Sorry, when we got the win over the Crusaders. That was an experience that I'll always remember. And I think that this match is similar in terms of how good a performance it was against one of the top teams in Super Rugby. So incredibly proud of the team. And just, it was an amazing game to watch as well. Like again and again and again, the Waratahs impressed me with the quality of their performance and their ability to just execute against a pretty good Crusaders team.
So I'm guessing you then didn't download the Brumbies game and watch that multiple times on replay.
Nope, I had no interest in watching that on replay, mate.
Well, that leads us perfectly into what's coming up this weekend, and that is the Waratahs' first home game for 2024. The Waratahs play this Friday night, 7:35 kickoff in Sydney against the Highlanders. It's a fantastic opportunity for fans to show up, show their support for the Waratahs after that incredible performance they put in against the Crusaders last week. If you haven't got tickets yet, go to our socials. We have a code that the Waratahs have shared with us. If you go to Ticketek and type in PICK into the password section before you click through to buy your tickets, you can secure $20 gold category tickets. Now, these tickets are normally $50 each, so it's a great saving of $30. And I believe they also are doing the promo this year of 2-for-1 beers before kickoff like they did last season. So use that code to get your $20 tickets and save the rest of the money for 2-for-1 beers before the game kicks off. Make sure you're vocal and there to cheer on the Tars when they get onto the field.
Completely agree. And one of the other deals the Tars have going is like getting a general admissions seat and two beers for $40. This is actually a better deal because you're paying $20 to get a gold seat, and then you still have $20, $30 remaining that you can get 2-for-1 beers before the game kicks off. So this is a much better deal. Use ours, PICK at Ticketek, and make sure that you get involved and support. Mitch and I are going to make sure we're sitting with that crowd as well. We know that there's a bunch of listeners and fans of the pod that have purchased tickets, so it's going to be great sitting near you all and being able to cheer on the Tars together. So very, very excited for that and keen to see the Waratahs kick on and take the title in 2024.
The year of the Tar is well and truly back alive. But let's get into the fixtures for round three of Super Rugby Pacific 2024. And the first game of the weekend is Moana Pacifica hosting the Melbourne Rebels at Mount Smart Stadium in Auckland. Now, this is the first home game for Moana Pacifica this year. It's the first time the Rebels have travelled across to New Zealand to take on an international opposition. Their come-from-behind win impressed so many people last weekend. Ando, how do you see this one going? Do you think the Rebels have what it takes to put in a better performance than last week and really shock Moana?
Yeah, look, I think they do. I'm also not convinced about kind of Moana's home ground advantage or the like, because it's not like they have a particularly strong supporter base from Mount Smart Stadium. If they were playing,
I have to actually. Sorry, you've raised a really good point. I was incorrect in that they're actually playing this one at FMG Stadium, which is in, I believe that one is the Chiefs' home in Hamilton. There were some issues with the turf not being available for Mount Smart, so they're not actually playing this game in Auckland. Whether that means much, not really sure, considering it's Moana Pacifica. they don't really have a spiritual home per se yet in Super Rugby, but that does mean that this game is being played in Hamilton as opposed from Auckland, if that means anything. Just thought I'd throw that
in. Yeah, I think if anything, that proves my point even further, that home ground advantage counts for less for Moana because they're not even playing out of Mount Smart, which is where they have played for the last couple of seasons. So with that in mind, I would be hopeful that the Rebels do have the capacity to get over Moana. But both teams have been pretty guilty of leaking a lot of points so far this season. So Moana... Moana and Rebels are both in the negatives for points for and against, and they've had some hefty scores racked up against them, themselves over the last couple of weeks. So I would be hopeful that the Rebels are going to get up. The pretty big loss in Brad Wilkin not being available for this match. So Vailani Akuasi has stepped in at number 7, which means they lose a pretty significant on-ball presence as well. In addition, Filippo Dungunu, who's actually been pretty good across the first two rounds, isn't available. So Andrew Kellaway has moved to 14 with Jake Strawn coming in at 15. And I actually rate Strawn quite highly, so I don't mind the fact that he's in a team. But it does mean that Kellaway, who has arguably been the best player for the Rebels so far this season, has been moved out of his preferred position to allow that change to happen. So we'll see if the changes will end up benefiting the team or not, but I'm still predicting a tight Rebels win by about 5 to 7 points.
Cool. I think we've seen from both Moana Pacifica and the Rebels this season that they both start slow, and the Rebels and Moana both got wins relatively late in their encounter. Moana got their win right up on full time against the Drua last weekend. We know the come from behind victory that the Rebels did get. So it's going to be really interesting to see how both of these teams start, because you can't have two teams coming home strong unless we see 50 points scored in the last 20 minutes of this fixture, which would be really exciting, I guess. I think from looking at both teams and how they've prepared coming into this fixture, I think I've seen a little bit more openness and sort of attacking flair from Moana, the ability to throw the ball around where they can consistently across the 80 minutes, whereas the Rebels have only really shown a good last 20 minutes in their two games so far this season. So if Moana can sort of contain the likes of Carter Gordon, Andrew Kellaway, some of the backs for the Rebels, I think that they should go a long way to getting this victory. It'll be tight. It comes right down to the wire as well. I think it's going to be 3 points either way. At this point, seeing that it is in New Zealand and it is the first kind of home game for Moana, I think that leads me in their direction a little bit more. So I'll say 3 points to Moana. Now, the next game is the game of the round. Oh, no.
I'm just going to jump in and quickly say I made a quick error in what I was saying. I didn't see Dungunu on the wing like I was expecting, but he's actually in at 13. It's Proctor who is out, so Dungunu's moved into 13. So I just wanted to correct that before somebody jumped in and told me I was wrong. So I saw that and thought I'd jump in. Back to you, Mitch.
Does that change anything for you?
Cool. Nah, not at all.
Let's keep moving. Waratahs' first home game of 2024 is being played against, as we've said so much in the lead-up, against the Highlanders this Friday night. Coming off the win last week against the Crusaders, where everyone had pretty much, including myself, had written them off leading into that fixture, they've turned a corner. Can they copy that same performance and put it up against the Highlanders this week, get the win? We have seen in the opening two rounds of the competition that the Highlanders have been a lot more competitive this season than in the last few seasons.
Yeah, definitely. The Highlanders really surprised me with their start to the season and the quality of their performances so far. And I think that the performance by the Waratahs last week, it took everyone by surprise. It was the shock of the round. I don't think many people outside of the squad themselves were expecting that quality performance from the Waratahs. And so the big test they have is to kick on and make it 2 in a row and to be able to prove that the match against the Crusaders wasn't just a fluke. It actually is the beginning of the trending in the right direction for the Tars within this season. It was really impressive to see the performance of Ned Hannigan coming in off the bench and having an incredibly strong performance with his involvement. Was it 16 or 19 tackles that he made at 100% success
18.
within 18 tackles in 18 minutes or something like that, and he didn't miss one. And so he comes into the starting side in the place of Fergus Lee Warner. And another unsung hero as well is Hugh Sinclair. So he's a player who's been around the Tars for a few seasons now, and he's probably one of the shortest locks in the competition, but he just does everything well. He's not going to be your main line-out target within the kind of jumping role, but he gets involved effectively at rucks. He makes the majority of his tackles. He does the clearing out as required and does what the team needs him to do that allows the other players around him to shine. So I don't think it was any big surprise that having him in a starting team enabled Jed Holloway to have one of his most impactful games of recent memory as well for the Tars too. So I'm kind of keen to see both Ned and Hugh just continue the good form that will hopefully enable Tane Edmund to back up his excellent game last week and get it up over the Highlanders. So, I mean, as the eternal optimist, I'll be expecting another Waratahs win.
By how many?
Oh, great question. I'm going to say
Not that it really matters. In your tipping comp, you only have to choose a winner, not the margin, but I'm asking you anyway, as a Tars fan.
We'll go at least 10 because you'll have the home crowd cheering them on at Allianz, which is definitely going to be packed because every man, woman, and a dog is going to be there.
Yeah, definitely those two bays with pick and drive tickets on available for $20. But I think what's going to be really interesting for the Waratahs in this fixture is how they manage the expectation. We've seen from last week that Australian rugby is alive and the heart is well and truly beating for the Waratahs, and just everyone's excited for that victory over the Crusaders. In seasons gone by, Darren Coleman has spoken the big talk in the preseason leading up to the starting rounds of the competition, particularly last year against the Brumbies. Wasn't successful in getting the win there. The Waratahs kind of went off the boil in those first few weeks. So this is the first home game. They're pumping up tickets. There's deals going everywhere, left, right, and center. Members can get 2-for-1, all this type of thing. So we're expecting a big crowd. People are interested to see how the Waratahs match up against the Highlanders. I'm really interested to see if this still relatively young Waratah side can handle that pressure, maintain it, and put in a good performance like we saw last week. If they can, I have no doubt that they are capable of beating this Highlanders team, as good as the Highlanders have been these past few weeks. If the Waratahs can play like they did last week against the Crusaders, they're going to push every team in this competition a long way and have the ability to beat anyone, maybe bar the Chiefs at the moment, because the Chiefs are looking unbeatable right at the moment. But yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how Darren Coleman prepares them and which side does show up. So I'm going to sit with the Waratahs. I really, really, really hope that they do show up, because that's what Australian rugby needs right now. We need a Waratahs team that's playing with heart and passion like we saw last week, but also doing it for their home crowd. We saw their last season game last year where they farewelled Michael Hooper against Moana Pacifica. Moana Pacifica got their sole win of the season at home, the Waratahs game at home in that fixture. So it was a really depressing way for fans to kind of see the end of 2023 for the Waratahs. This is the first opportunity to right those wrongs, put in a great performance. I really, really hope that they do turn up and there is a lot of people there to support them. And so I'm leaning towards Waratahs. Hopefully they win by at least 10 points, like you said, Ando.
Yeah, he is hoping. And a couple of other points of interest are that the Highlanders captain, Billy Harmon, as well as his fellow back rower, all this forward, Sean Withy, have actually been dropped from the starting team to play the Tars because they turned up late to a team meeting this week. And so the team had set high standards about being on time to events and functions and the like, and now we're late. And so they've been wrapped over the knuckles and have been relegated to the bench. So I'm not sure if that will kind of fire them up in their performances when they come off the bench. But it is interesting. It does mean that they'll have a relatively inexperienced back row coming up against the Waratahs. So who is it? 4 or 5. They'll have Tom Sanders and Nicola Brofton. at 6 and 7, who are both, I think they're both on debut or at the released, very inexperienced, with Hugh Renton playing at 8. So maybe that'll be an area for exploitation by the Tars. And as a quick point, just before we move on, I got to say, I've been super impressed by Fergus Lee Warner last in the match against the Crusaders. I do kind of understand why he's been moved to the bench, because Ned Hannigan's performance was also really impressive. But I just got these kind of allusions to Jacques Potgieter in terms of the mongrel and the physicality that he was bringing against the Satyrs in tight. I really, really valued it. So I'm keen to see more of Fergus Lee Warner as the season progresses.
Now, speaking of the Crusaders, the next game is being played in Fiji. It's the Fiji and Drua's first home game of the season. They're hosting the Crusaders. Now, there is the opportunity for, if the Fiji and Drua do get the win this week, this will be the first three games that the Crusaders have lost in the season, which I don't actually have the stat in front of me, but I can't remember the last time the Crusaders lost their first three games in the start of a season, which would be crazy. The Christchurch fans would just absolutely melt down, and I think New Zealand would sink into the ocean and cease to exist if the Crusaders didn't get a convincing win against the Drua this week. That's not saying that the Drua can't beat them, though. I think the Drua have everything in their arsenal to beat this Crusaders team. Ando, how big of a competition is this one? How big a game is this for the Drua? And are they able to beat the Crusaders and cause shockwaves across the rugby universe?
Yeah, look, I think they're definitely capable. And I said this preseason. Look, my prediction preseason that the Canes were going to suck was obviously wrong. They've been doing pretty fine without Artie Sevilla. But my other prediction that I made was that the Crusaders were really going to struggle this season. And if you look at their back line, okay, let me just read out the players from 9 to 15. Okay, Willie Hines, Tahara Kamara, Manasa Mataieli, David Havili, Levi Almua, Sevi Reese, and Shea Fahaki. You've got a few excellent players there, and then a bunch of average players. They're not amazing. And then you look at their bench reserves, Mitch Drummond, Jono Rover, and Riley Hohepa. Like, this is not a Crusaders team that is going to strike fear into the opposition. Yeah, Sevi Reese, Levi Amua, David Havili, they're excellent players. They genuinely are. But it's just not the Crusaders teams of 2 or 3 years ago that is kind of fearsome to come up against. And so the home ground advantage for the Fijian and Drua has been incredible over the last couple of seasons. And we've seen that on their day, they can beat any team in the competition, even if that team's on form, if the Drua are playing at home. So, yeah, I think the Drua can win, and part of me just is willingness into existence. If we all cross our fingers and think positively enough, the Drua will beat the Crusaders, because I cannot wait to see the reaction by the New Zealand media if the Crusaders go none from three in the three opening rounds of the season.
I think if we look at the Fiji and Drua's lead up to this game, last week's loss to Moana Pacifica is probably the best preparation they could have asked for. The fact that the game went down to the wire, and if it wasn't for a bad rugby tactic in that you take a quick tap with the game in the line, you're down by 2 points and you end up coughing it up and turning it over and not taking the three or you're down by three, not taking the shot at goal to even things up and go to extra point, they're going to be ruining that opportunity. So I think they will take a lot of learnings out of that this week. And as you said, the Crusaders are ripe for the picking. They've beaten them at home already. They know what needs to be done to be able to do that. And it would be fantastic to see the boys in blue get up over the evil men in red. So I'm all behind the Fiji and Drua this week. I'm excited, as you said, Ando, to see what happens in New Zealand rugby if the Drua do beat the Crusaders, whether Rob Penny does see out his second season as a head coach of Super Rugby, or whether he gets sacked again. I mean, that's kind of what's potentially on the cards for him with what has happened so far for the Crusaders this year. So yeah, I'm backing the Drua in this one. I don't know how much it will be. It'll be within five, I think. I think it's going to be a pretty tight affair. Could go down to the wire again. Could go to extra golden point. It's going to be a really exciting game.
Without a shadow of a doubt. So why don't we move on to the next game, which is the first Brumbies home game versus the Western Force, which will be at 2:35 p.m. on Saturday. So pretty cool thing. We've got four games occurring on the one day on Saturday. Now, as we mentioned, this is the first home game. Couple of significant changes that have come in for the Brumbies. We had the concussion injury to Caden Neville as a result of Jared Proffitt's red card and high tackle. So you've got Darcy Swain, who has come into the starting lineup. And you've also got Charlie Kale, who has been dismissed, but is no longer in the team for Luke Reimer, who is going to be starting at starting in a back row. So some pretty significant changes there. Tamati Tua has also moved into the center combination for the Brumbies. And in my mind, I don't see anything but a Brumbies win here, but there'll be an added extra level of spice with Nick White returning home to Canberra for the first time after joining his new team, the Force.
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting to see how the Western Force have gone their first two rounds of the competition. Their line-out hasn't functioned, their scrum hasn't functioned, but last week the Brumbies scrum also didn't function, and it was a pretty relatively inept area of the game, which is so uncharacteristic of the Brumbies. I think there's going to be a lot of focus on that this week. They're going to try and go back to basics and focus on what they do so well, which is set piece and scrum and maul dominance. So I think the Western Force can expect a lot of scrums. They can expect a lot of slow down rugby, Brumby style. Whether they have the team to counteract that, I'm not 100% sure at this point. I haven't overly been impressed with the Western Force in their opening two fixtures. I thought they were pretty much home and dusted last week before the Melbourne Rebels just decided to change things up and win the game. 29 unanswered points, absolutely crazy. That factor of Nick White coming home, whether that is enough of a kind of motivation for him to lift the players around him, not sure yet either. Be really interesting to see how this team goes. But I can't see this being a Brumbies victory by any other way. And I think it'd be quite a convincing victory if we go off the first two rounds of the competition.
Yeah, and I just think that the bench of the Brumbies is so much stronger than the bench of the Force. I mean, you look at the front row, and it's Billy Pollard, Blake Schopp, and Reece Van Neck versus Fleety Kaitu'u, Charlie Hancock, and Tian Talakipulu. And like, as decent as kind of Hancock and Kaitu'u and Talakipulu are, that they don't have the same level of experience, without a doubt. I mean, Talakipulu was at the Waratahs last season, barely saw any game time before he moved over to the Force. So look, when you just consider the overall squad depth within the Brumbies, in my mind, this is a Brumbies win every time. And so you probably by about 15 for me.
So the next game is the first New Zealand derby of the round. It is the Hurricanes hosting the Blues at Sky Stadium. This is the first opportunity. Well, both of these teams at this point in the competition have not lost a game yet. They both won their first two opening fixtures. So it's going to be really interesting to see which team is able to get the win here. Across the both two opening rounds, both teams have looked really comfortable in their fixtures. The Hurricanes last week going down to the wire against the Reds, but being able to pull through and get the victory in extra time is going to do massive things for their mental side of the game. Losing Jordy Barrett for 3 weeks, which has been announced today, is a big cost for them. I don't know. I think that could potentially be the difference between these two sides. We know what the Blues offer in their particularly their back three, but also just their back line is so big and excellent with ball in hand. I do think that could be the deciding factor in this one. But I think this game's going to come down to the wire. Ando, how do you see this one going?
Mate, firstly, I just want to put an announcement out to the Blues coaching staff. Can you please swap like Riccatelli with Eklund? Riccatelli's in my fantasy team, and it pisses me off that you rotate the hookers every other week, okay? So please, Riccatelli to start week in, week out, right? Now, on that point, what is Hoskin Satutu doing on a bench? He has been the standout player of Super Rugby for rounds one and two. Absolutely incredible. Everything he touches turns to gold. The Midas of New Zealand and Australian rugby. He's incredible, and yet he's been moved to the bench. So maybe there's a niggle or something about his fitness after the last couple of weeks that they're trying to manage there, potentially. But either way, a back row of Anton Segner, Dalton Papali'i, and Akira Ioane is very impressive from the Blues. And I think that the big challenge that the Canes are going to face is just having such firepower from AJ Lamb, Mark Talia, and Zane Sullivan as well in the back three. combo. It's going to be pretty difficult without Jordy Barrett there to use his long boot to try and control the game a little bit more and get them out of some of those situations deep within their own half. So I'm hoping for a Blues win because I've got a bunch more Blues players on my fantasy team. but we'll see how it goes. And I'm sure the Hurricanes won't go down without a fight.
Yeah, I could, again, like last week, I can see this one really going down to the wire. And if it does go down to the wire or does come into extra time, I think that the Hurricanes will take so many more learnings from last week against the Reds than the Blues potentially have shown. But in saying that, on half time, last week, the Blues, instead of kicking it out, run full length of the field and score to sort of finish the half in their favor. So both teams have the ability to extend and to sort of pull something out of the bag when nothing's on. I think this is going to be a really exciting game to watch. But in saying that, let's move across now into what we're calling the match of the round, is our match of focus this week, which is the Queensland Reds hosting the Chiefs from Hamilton in the last game of the weekend, Saturday night, 6:35 p.m. kickoff, local time. Ando, do the Reds have enough to upset what has been to this point an unstoppable Chiefs side?
I want them to, but I don't think they do, is my summary. As a rabid Australian rugby fan, I want the Reds to get up and do well. And they did have a good performances against them last year. But I just think that the Chiefs are on way too hot a form. And then losing losing three of the top players to injury. I mean, you've got Paisami and Pitaia, who are both out. And I'm having a mental blank for the new prop that's out as well. I apologize. The other Kiwi prop that they've just got, I'm having a mental blank. I'm sorry. We'll get there. Alex Hodgman. Yep. So Alex Hodgman is out with a shoulder injury as well. It's just really tough. And so you got Isaac Henry coming into 12, Josh Fluke moving out to 13. Like, Isaac Henry is an excellent player. Paisami had just been on incredible form for the first 2 weeks of the season. And Alex Hodgman had done a really good job shoring up the scrum, which we thought could have been an area of weakness for the Reds this season. So, and Pitaia has just had these moments of insane ability over the last two rounds. Although the good news there is that it does mean that Jock Campbell can go back into his preferred 15 position and Mac Greeley gets a start at 11. And I really have high wraps on Mac Greeley. I think he's an excellent player and somebody that needs more game time. And so him getting an opportunity to play a full 80 minutes or at least start the match is an excellent opportunity for them.
So looking at both teams' forms leading into this fixture, the Reds have lost one and won one. They won their first weekend against the Waratahs. They lost last weekend in extra time to the Hurricanes. Conversely, the Chiefs have won both of their fixtures. They've come off a first round win, a tight win against the Crusaders. And then last week they pumped the Brumbies, which is a good sign for them leading into their second leg of this Australian tour. If we look at some key matchups for this game, I think we can't go past the 10 battle. So Damien McKenzie has definitely been the highlight 10 of the competition this far in the season. Tom Liner, conversely, for the Queensland Reds, whilst he's been good and very impressive for them in the first two games of the season, coming up against a player like Damien McKenzie with the experience that he has and the form that he's currently in, it's just chalk and cheese, unfortunately, at this point. I think the Queensland Reds would love to be able to call on the likes of maybe James O'Connor to parachute him in if he was fit and able. But without him, I think they're going to struggle, particularly in that 10 channel. What are your thoughts on what's your key matchup?
Yeah, look, I think I think a big part of it is going to be the back row combination. So Liam Wright has been one of the unspoken champions of the Reds so far over the last 2 weeks. And you can just see the impact that Fraser McWright and Harry Wilson are having on games because they're not having to play in tight as much because Liam Wright's doing all that hard, dirty work for them to express themselves within their running game a lot more. And so that's just been good to see. So I think if... like. Les Kiss did an interview either today or yesterday for the Queensland Reds media. And one of the things that he said with, like, how do you stop DMAC? He said, well, you kind of don't want to focus on DMAC too much because they've got other good players inside and out that'll punish you if you do. But one of the big things that you do need to make sure of is that you are making sure the players inside and outside of him are not getting as much opportunity to unleash DMACC. So you've got to make sure that you're stopping the forwards, stopping them from getting over the advantage line, making sure that the powerful kind of 12, 13 runners are not getting over the ad line. So Anton Leonard-Brown, making sure you're stopping him so that DMACC doesn't have front football against fractured defense to be running at. Because if he does, you're on a hiding to nothing. And so the Reds will be needing to focus on like a whole team approach rather than a man-on-man. Because if we're being honest, DMACC trumps Tom Liner every single day of the week, plus multiple times on a Sunday. And you just cannot deny that at all. That's not a slide on Tom Liner. It's just everything about DMACC. And so it's that weird thing of like, he's so good, you almost need to not focus on him. Because if you do, then you actually walk into the trap that's being set for you.
Yeah, I think what's going to be really interesting for this Reds team is they've shown in the first 2 weeks of this competition that they can hang with teams. And even though they did get beaten an extra point against the Hurricanes last week, they definitely weren't out of the fight in any sort of any stretch of the imagination in that game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Reds do hang with this Chiefs team and push them right to the end. I don't know whether they have the personnel to actually get the victory. I would love for it to happen. I would love, as an Australian rugby fan, for the Reds to roll the Chiefs at Suncorp. Would be the fairy tale of the season, particularly after last week with the Tars rolling the Crusaders. But I think to do that, they need the likes of Hunter Paisami in the centres putting on big hits and accelerating off the line and shutting down the time that McKenzie and the Chiefs centers have. They need
if he was there, because remember, he's out.
Jordan Pataia.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they without them, that's what they need, I think, to win this game. So with the personnel they've got coming in, I think they can hang with the Chiefs and they can play a game plan in a style that's going to be able to, if it gets into a score for score, I think they have the ability, particularly out wide, to score tries. I just don't see them being able to shut down the Chiefs to a point or a level that's going to allow them to get ahead of them at any point in the game. So I think it's going to be tight. Again, I think it's going to lean towards the Chiefs. I'd love to see it within 5 to 7 points. I think that would be a win for the Reds in their books. But yeah, it's going to be an absolutely massive fixture, and I'm really excited to see how this team fronts up for it, because so far in this season, they've looked better and better every week. And the more minutes that they get with Les Kiss as coach, it's just really exciting to watch them play rugby at the moment.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying him as a coach, by the way. He's one thing the Reds media team are doing really well is regular interviews with players and Les each week that they're putting up on their YouTube channel. And they're short. They're like 7 to 10 minutes or something like that. But it's just a really good opportunity to hear from the coaches and the players in a less formal setting. And the responses that Les is giving to questions are quite animated and personable, and yeah, it's just nice insight into a man who just lives and breathes his rugby. And in the opportunity we had to talk with him was just an absolute gentleman as well. So more of that, please.
Very much more of that. And I will just shout out to Stan Sport. I think the coverage in round one for the mic'd up coaches was really, really cool to see. If you haven't seen it, do go onto their socials. They've got snippets of it going around. So for those who haven't seen it, they mic'd up both Les Kiss and DC for the Waratahs versus Reds opening game of the season, and got a real good insight into their preparation, how they communicated to the team throughout the game, and what they said to the boys at halftime. Really, really, really interesting, really good insight. And just the way that Stan Sport have kind of shifted up how they're presenting things this season. Last week, Morgs, after the Waratahs game, went into the change rooms and chatted to some of the players right after the game. I thought that was a really cool insight that we're not often seeing. So just another shout out to Stan Sport. They've done a really great job changing the coverage season on season and making sure that they're not just getting stale every single year that they do have the rights to Super Rugby.
Yep. Very well said. Enjoying the new offerings that they're putting forward. So good work, Stan team, and long may it continue.
All right. I think that wraps us up for this preview episode. Ando, is there anything else you wanted to say about this round of rugby? If you are, I guess, based in either New South Wales, ACT or Queensland, make sure you get to your Super Rugby teams this week. This is a great opportunity to support Australian rugby. That's the best way to support the team at the moment, to support the sport in this country, is show up to the games. Make sure you're there, vote with your feet, give them your hard-earned money, because we've seen in the last few weeks as bad as last season was, as bad as the whole Eddie Jones saga was, the players have stood up and they've turned a corner this season, which is fantastic. And we're actually taking it to the Kiwis, which is awesome to see.
Yeah, completely agree. The final thing I want to say is make sure you get your tickets. Use the code PICK to get $20 gold seats at Allianz for this home game against the Highlanders. We're spruiking it heaps. Basically, we're not actually receiving anything for this. We just want so many people to be getting along and supporting the Tars. The more, the merrier. It's a better experience. And when you're around like-minded fans who just want to cheer their team home, it makes the experience all the more valuable. So get amongst it. Keen to see you there and very much looking forward to this weekend of rugby.
Fantastic. We'll be back on Sunday night or Monday morning in your ears for our wrap-up of Round 3 of Super Rugby Pacific 2024. We will see you then, team. Bye.
Bye.